The siting of large-scale renewable energy projects in New York State, such as wind turbines and solar farms, often faces significant local opposition by residents concerned by visual impacts, noise, and possible decrease in property values, among other things. Such opposition undermines the ability of the state to meet the governor's goal in transitioning to clean, renewable energy. We are joined now by Zach Dufresne, Director of Communications and Membership of the Alliance for Clean Energy New York, to discuss a new report addressing this concern that they wrote along with the Nature Conservancy. Good evening.
Dave, Megan, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in.
Zach, maybe just start off with, could you explain briefly to our listeners, first of all, what the Alliance for Clean Energy New York is, what its mission is, and maybe also give a quick description of the Roger report, Accelerating Large-Scale Wind and Solar Energy in New York.
Sure. So the Alliance for Clean Energy New York is a coalition of clean energy developers and environmentalists in New York State. We're a bit unique in that we don't represent just one clean energy technology, such as wind, like many trade associations do. We represent the whole gamut of clean energies in New York State, ranging from wind, solar, hydro, and certain types of fuel cell and biogas if they're done sustainably. We're also a bit unique in that, according to our bylaws, half of our board is represented by these clean energy developers, but half of our board is represented by environmentalists. So the Natural Resources Defense Council, Sierra Club, Environmental Advocates of New York all have board seats and really drive our mission. We have that balance in our mission, and our mission is to promote clean energy, a healthy environment, and a strong economy for New York State.
And what about the report?
Yeah, so the report was a product of the Renewables on the Ground Roundtable, which was a consensus-building exercise with co-chaired by, like you said, ACE New York and the Nature Conservancy. It really is a significant step that these groups got together. We had the Land Trust Alliance, Ag and Markets, really people who have dedicated their whole lives to conservation. And they've recognized that climate change is such a threat to what they do and to their mission that they now need to start supporting these projects. It's a way that we can really make a difference now with real projects that will actually combat climate change. So the report that came out of that was a set of principles and recommendations for how to site these large-scale projects in New York State. Some of the recommendations were, obviously to accelerate renewable energy in New York State, but do so in a way that preserves farmland. Bless you, by the way.
Thank you.
And also to assist local governments and communities in engaging in these projects, which is something that's, that, as you spoke to, it's really important and something we're struggling with right now. And to make this siting process more efficient and less expensive. We were really excited to get together with these guys for the 9-month period that we did this roundtable exercise. We didn't answer all of our questions, but it's important that the dialogue is happening and everyone's listening to each other and trying to figure out a way to move forward to really do something now about climate change. The sooner the better.
Why do local residents so often oppose local renewable energy projects? Is that even accurate now? I mean, I know certain communities are quite rapidly switching to solar and wind, but in cases where residents have hesitancy about the development of these projects, what are their concerns, and are those concerns valid, in your opinion?
Yeah, and we're seeing that more and more in New York State now. A lot of it stems from NIMBY, not in my backyard. You can go into a town and, do you guys support renewable energy? 80%, yes. Do you want a renewable energy project in your town? 80%, no. The landowner with the wind turbine on their property is receiving a lease payment. They're typically much more supportive than their neighbor who gets that same view of the wind turbine but doesn't receive that lease payment. So that's something that the Renewables on the Ground Roundtable, tried to address. I can't say if NIMBY is a valid concern or not, But there certainly are some valid concerns out there. You know, say that you live near a military facility, such as Fort Hood. Your whole economy depends on that military facility maintaining operations and continuing to operate. And so, of course, it's a valid concern if you think that these wind turbines might affect operations. But, you know, what a lot of people don't know behind the scenes is the Pentagon has established a site and clearinghouse to evaluate these projects. They evaluate every single wind turbine that gets placed near their facility. And if they decide that it might affect their operations, the wind turbine doesn't go up. And it's, you know, it's an established process that's worked time and time again. And it's hard to get people to see that behind the scenes, what's really happening, when they have that valid concern of you know, the economy of my town. It's really important. And, you know, another piece of that is the BRAC process, the base relocation and closure. And there's another round of that coming up in, I think, 2020. And if their base closes, they lose everything, right? And that's obviously, again, a valid concern. But with this site and clearinghouse, if the Department of Defense decides you can put a wind turbine here, the Department of Defense can't then go say, well, because it's wind turbines here, we're going to close this base. And it's actually written, it's arbitrary and capricious that they can't do that. But explaining all of these nuances and intricacies behind the scenes really becomes tough when, you know, it's much easier to get that message out that wind turbines are going to affect our base.
Mm-hmm. So I was reading through the report this afternoon, actually, and it sounds like, I mean, there's a whole, network of bureaucracy that you have to go through for the large-scale projects so they can get bogged down for years at a time. Is that more or less correct?
Yes. Yep. It takes at least a few years to get these projects from start to finish, and typically more. And that's part of what we're working on really hard day in and day out, is to make this process more efficient. And that's not to say that we want to ease these regulations. We think, you know, the SECURE process in Article 10 to evaluate the environmental impact is an important step. It's an important process. Cultural and historical preservation. It's important to make sure that when we're doing these developments, we're keeping all of that in mind and doing it in an environmentally friendly way, mm-hmm. You know, which is part of the reason why we have these environmentalists on our board driving our mission.
Is that bureaucracy? Is that why, for example, to get very specific, I mean, you basically have this borderline of 25 megawatts, and when it's above that, then it falls into that large-scale project. When it's below that, it becomes a smaller-scale thing, and there's a whole group of projects, the microgrids, like the one that they're trying to get approved in Albany,
sure.
That kind of go under that 25 megawatt limit, but yet with that one, the complaint, and then there are many, is that it's bringing natural gas and perhaps emissions into a low-income housing or a lower-income, racially diverse neighborhood that had endured even worse than that before. So, I, you know, is there some sort of balance?
Yeah, and, you know, environmental justice is important as well, obviously. And a lot of these low-income neighborhoods have been disproportionately affected by the fossil fuel plants that go near their neighborhoods. And, you know, we're certainly supportive of microgrids. It's a great thing. There's one in Brooklyn right now that's all solar. This one's a little different. It's natural gas. You know, we're not supportive of natural gas. So I would side with a lot of the residents to express concern with that project. Microgrids as an idea are great, reliability, security of the grid, but it needs to be done in a sustainable way.
What is the report's, or the result of the roundtable's discussion, what did you come up with as being related to the translation of whole energy grids that currently exist to renewables, you know, beyond the microgrids, the taking of city grids and having them run on renewables?
Yeah, transmission was a recommendation of the Renewable on the Ground Roundtable. And it's planning for these projects that's really important. Our grid was designed to go one way by, you know, Tesla and Edison and these guys. They designed it to go one way. It's a really antiquated system. And they didn't think that we were going to have this distributed energy platform that we could, you know, feed back and forth, create these microgrids. They didn't see how prolific energy use was going to become. So it's a big challenge, and that's where I think the microgrids can really play an important role and provide that security. You know, if another natural disaster happens, and they're happening, you know, more intensely as we've seen, and I don't know of any report that doesn't link that to climate change. So, you know, if one town can be isolated from that rather than the whole half of the state going down, that's great. Mm-hmm. And if they can do it with solar panels and wind turbines, that's even better.
One of the key points of that report was about the transmission lines. And the section that I read was mostly focusing on, you know, maybe setting up these large-scale projects in quote-unquote unused territory. Unused, of course, not from the perspective of all the ecosystems that thrive there. But sure. But my question really is, those transmission lines, especially with that point that you just brought up now with a two-way transmission being increasingly important, would those need to be put in place not just in outlying areas, but also in urban centers, because the things that are in existence right there are antiquated?
Well, typically in the urban settings, the need will be a new substation. So the lines are already there, and they're not going to change that up, right? They're on every block. The lines are there, but they sometimes need more power. And so these substations, they cost the utilities billions of dollars to build. And what they've been doing more and more is what they call non-wires alternatives. And they're coming up with such as microgrids. Rather than building the substation, let's put solar panels on all of these roofs and turn that into a virtual power plant so we don't need to increase the transmission. We have the power where we need it, when we need it. And that's another big issue in New York State is a lot of the resource for these renewable energies, wind and solar, are upstate Western. But most of the low demand is obviously in New York City. Mm-hmm. And getting the power from those western northern areas down to the city is certainly an issue. And it's something we're addressing in the value of distributed energy proceeding right now, mm-hmm. is coming up with a more granular way to assess the value of these renewable energy projects. And we're now taking into account, where are they located? Are they located in a bottleneck? Are they located near a load center? If they are, we'll give you more money for the energy that you produce from these.
So, unfortunately, we're about out of time. But I think, obviously, this is an open-ended discussion, and I think we should have you back at some later point, maybe to go into some of the things that we haven't had time to address.
I'd love to.
Great. Excellent. So, we've been talking to Zach Dufresne of the Alliance for Clean Energy New York about the new report from the from Alliance for Clean Energy and the Nature Conservancy about how New York State can improve and speed up the siting of renewable energy projects.